Alabama and Tennessee's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international, and oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Taco Tuesday. I'm not even sure where the first 2 hours went. But listen, we're going to jump into a topic right now that is, it is weighty, but it is necessary. It is complex, but yet it's also really simple if you get down to it, because there are some things that are just wrong on their face, and you have to address them. And I'm thankful for the fact that we have people out there who will address them. I gotta quickly, before I bring a guest on, is tell you there's a story that came out just a couple of days ago on 1819 News in Bibb County, Alabama. So what I'm telling you about is a story that is not from out there somewhere. It's here in Bibb County, Alabama. A 29-year-old guy named Andre Trejo Velasquez of Brent, which is a community in Bibb County, was charged with 6 counts of first-degree human trafficking. We don't know where he's from or whether he's legal or status or not. It didn't matter. The bottom line is he was trafficking children for sex. These children, the victims, ranged in age from 2 to 10. 2 to 10. At the tender ages of 2 years old up to 10 years old, this guy is making money off of trafficking them to people who will also be perpetrators and participate in the crime. It's pretty sick. There's a lot of other things that are extraneous to this, like drugs and alcohol, mental condition, family ties, all of it in this guy's background. Doesn't matter. What we have now is a human trafficking nightmare in our country. And it's also here. Somebody who knows that extremely well and has got a background in helping to deal with it and to deal with the victims is Nicole Wilson. She has a business called Fortify Alabama, which is doing great work, and they specialize in addressing it through prevention, intervention, and support. And she's on the phone right now. Nicole Wilson, how are you doing?
Hey, Phil. Good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Listen, I think it's also really important that people not only recognize this as a problem, but it's a problem in our own backyard. And so you started Fortify Alabama because it's here in Alabama.
Right, yeah. You know, 3 years ago, I had never even had a conversation about human trafficking. I had no idea what it was, what was going on. And I don't believe in coincidences. I like to call them God winks. But through a series of those winks and open doors, I found myself leading a group called Trafficking Hope through Church of the Highlands that was focused on education and awareness. But the more that I learned and the more that I saw, it really didn't take me long to realize that we need to do more in our community. So I decided to go more boots on the ground, and that's how Fortify was established, to still focus on education and awareness, bringing out people from that bubble, but also to help address the problem itself.
Well, so when Fortify Alabama does its work, I mean, what are you doing? Give us a day in the life of Fortify Alabama as an organization. What exactly are, because what I think is important is you just said something that everybody in our listening audience needs to grab hold of, is that you had one of those moments where you were just kind of involved with something through your church. It has grown now to where you have your own 501c3. You are running it. You have a board of directors, and you're doing work. But what does work look like for you?
Right. So we do. We have the prevention side of it, which is the education and awareness that you briefly touched on. And the awareness is just the awareness booth.
Oh, did we lose her? I tell you what, maybe we can get her right back. I will tell you this, Nicole and her group do amazing work. I remember one of the things that I think it was her I was talking to is that, and JP, yeah, if she comes back on, just give me the thumbs up. I think he's getting it right now, is that they find the victims at all kinds of places where you and I might be going and not even realizing it's happening right next to us. Got her back on the line. Nicole, you back?
Yeah, sorry about that. Dropped on me.
That's okay.
Yeah, so we also do training and educational workshops with companies, churches, anybody who will listen. We have an annual Fortify Alabama Anti-Human Trafficking Conference where we bring together experts and law enforcement community members to just share the knowledge, best practices, things like that. We offer CU credits for that. But when we get into the intervention side of it, that's going to be more, we focus on motel outreach. So we're actually going to the motels and passing out roses to the women, trying to have conversations with them. We even talk to the traffickers. And then we also start getting into online outreach, which is where we are using a software basically to reach out to the escort ads themselves and just start trying to start up a conversation to see if the women would like resources, prayer, anything like that. And then the last side of it is our support side. And that was one that I learned really early on, but it surprises a lot of people, is animal support. So a trafficking victim, much like a domestic violence victim, will not leave their situation if there is a loved pet involved. Mm-hmm. They're afraid that their trafficker, their abuser, will harm or kill the animal. So in order to remove that barrier, we've partnered with local rescues to take in those animals.
Wow. And then you don't think about that kind of stuff. You'd almost like to believe they're desperate to get out and they'll leave at a moment's notice. But sometimes they're so beaten down that the pet that's there is their only lifeline to normalcy. And so you're saying they won't leave sometimes because of that.
Yeah. I mean, that pet loves them unconditionally. So it's just another way to kind of trap them in their situation.
I saw a statistic on your website that said on the average, it takes 5 to 7 times for a victim to get out of their trafficking situation. What does that mean?
Yeah, so it can take a lot depending on the situation. You know, you're just planting seeds, especially with the motel outreach. It could take multiple attempts for them to realize that they should leave that situation, or they will try to leave that situation and then they'll run away, whether it's because of drugs, trauma bonding. There's multiple scenarios of why they would run away and not stick to the restoration part of their healing.
So you don't think about it, but there's different kinds of trafficking. There's sex trafficking, obviously, and there's labor trafficking. Do you see that in your work?
We do. We see some labor trafficking. We've helped with a couple of cases, and that one, you know, it's tough because there's a lot of language barriers with that one. So we don't have enough translators, honestly, to even touch labor trafficking the way that it should be assisted.
Which one in our area, just for this listening area alone, which one do you think is more prolific, the labor trafficking or the sex trafficking?
We're probably seeing more labor trafficking, honestly. At least the labor trafficking is more in your face. You know, and one example that was given to me with labor trafficking is if you ever go to one of those intersections, and I'm not saying this is every single circumstance, but when you go to those intersections and there's people with buckets and they're asking for money, a lot of times those are labor trafficking situations where they have to make a certain quota of what money that they have to bring back before they can get food or a bed to sleep in that night or whatever the case may be. So those situations, not always are they raising money for an organization or a church. They're actually being trafficked to work in those and ask for money on those intersections.
And how much of this do you see with kids versus somebody over the age of majority? Is this, and I know that sex trafficking, like I just read out the story, the 1819 News has another one of those heinous stories about children as young as 2 being trafficked right here in Alabama. But in your work and your experience, or for that matter, just in relating to other organizations like yours, how much of what we're seeing right now is children and how much is adults?
You know, we see on our line more adults, which honestly, to be frank, I'm thankful for, because the child side of it is really tough to see. We have seen a couple of circumstances with child labor trafficking where they were teenagers. You know, it's not the extreme where you're seeing that 2-year-old to, you know, 10-year-old phase. Now, I will say when it comes to child trafficking a lot, The worst statistic, in my opinion, is how much of it is familial trafficking, which they average around 40% is trafficking cases for children are through a family member. And 50% of that is their mothers doing it.
Wow. So you're talking about kids, you're talking about being farmed out for sex, or you're talking about farmed out for labor? What are you saying?
Bit of both. Oh, but mostly both. When they're talking about that, they're talking about sex.
Well, okay, we got a couple minutes left here with just you and I talking, but one of the things that really shocked me was when I read something that said that truck stops are a major hub for trafficking. I had never dawned to me, and this has been years ago now, obviously, but it had never dawned to me that when I stop at a truck stop for gas and I go inside to get a cup of coffee, and I don't realize what may be happening out there in that vast yard full of 18-wheelers that could be involving trafficking or sex trafficking or anything else. But what are the hubs? What are the places that people should be aware of? And I know that sometimes it's see something, say something. What do you recommend people, you know, be aware of in certain locales?
Yeah, I mean, the motels are a popular hub. You're going to see also, like you said, with the trafficking or the trucking stops. Honestly, with sex trafficking, most of the business is being handled online now, which makes it really difficult to spot out in the world. So a lot of it is handled through escort ads or personal ads. So that technology piece has made it very difficult for people to track and to try to help in those situations.
In Alabama, are there any hotbed areas? Do you see it more in rural? Do you see it more in big cities? What do you tend to see?
Yeah, I mean, the big cities are really bad. Huntsville, for example, where we're stationed, is kind of that Bermuda Triangle because we're getting a lot of trafficking through Nashville, Atlanta, and Birmingham is just funneling it through the highways. So, and then another circumstance would be our strip clubs, too. They're a hot spot for trafficking.
Well, and in some of these, you might almost like expect it in a sense. But I think the other thing that people have to be aware of is that sometimes you might see something in a diner, in a restaurant, a kid buying medical supplies at a convenience store, and it just doesn't feel right. And I guess what I'm saying is I would encourage our listeners to see something, say something. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Nicole, thank you for Fortify Alabama. Thank you for what y'all do. I'm going to be spending some time unpacking this topic a little further, but appreciate your work, and you're welcome back on the show anytime, all right?
Thanks. I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. That's Nicole Wilson. And by the way, they do have a website, fortifyalabama.com. Has all their stuff on there. And yes, she's based out of Huntsville. We actually met, I've forgotten what big dinner we were at, and it was Allie from Athens who actually introduced me to her. So one of our listeners introduced me to the person you just heard. And that's, it's an amazing amount of, it's like there's the never-ending level of work to be done on the issue. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll talk about it in more detail. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Saving the world one soundbite at a time. How about this? Save one kid. The things that are out there, I've wondered several times, is our society contain more depraved people, or is it just easier to find them because they are the inhibitions have been reduced, that the barriers have been removed, that in some way the standards have been lowered? I don't know the answer to that. I don't know. I believe that some of what we see nowadays in terms of perpetrators towards kids was probably happening 1,000 years ago. It probably was. I just feel like there is, to some degree, it is ramped up in modern society. Maybe it's the access that they have to kids. Maybe it's the technology that allows them to hide it or to advance it or to multiply it. Maybe it's the fact that we are a more populous nation, and so people can come and go quicker and jump in the fray and jump back out. I don't know the answer to that. All I know is there's a whole lot of crap out there dealing with our kids. I've got a story that is, so I guess, and when I say some of this stuff right now, you guys understand me. I have worked with abused kids before, and it breaks my heart, but I think it has to be talked about. So for the next few minutes, as we talk about this stuff, if you have your kids in the room, you might want to consider whether they should listen to it. But I hope you will. I've got a story here that I pulled off of Yahoo News. It's only a couple of weeks old. FBI has opened 250 investigations to an online violent network called 764 that preys on teens. 764. So it's only a couple of years old, but this is the level of depravity that people have as they try to reach kids. Some guy named Bradley Cadenhead apparently is now serving an 80-year prison sentence in Texas for starting this 764 group through Discord, which is an online platform that a lot of people communicate through, like when they're playing video games and all that kind of stuff. He called it 764 because his zip code had the number 764 in it. He lived in Texas. Okay. He apparently was one of these people that believes in the more blood and sexual violence he can see, the better. And then began to believe that it was great to see it in kids. And so 764 is now filled up. It's a worldwide movement. It became global in just a short amount of time. It has all kinds of offshoots and subgroups, and they rebrand themselves occasionally, but they're all part of the same thing. And what they literally do is they prey on kids through online networks and then convince them that if they don't do certain things and let us see you do it, that we will kill your family. Or we'll take the images we've already got of you now and we'll publish them to your friends. And we're talking about, sometimes we're talking about kids that are, you know, single digits old. And of course, a lot of teenagers. One Connecticut mother said, "This is extremely scary and frightening. We didn't raise our daughter this way. We don't know how it happened." But the mother says that basically when the daughter was arrested because she had been making bomb threats in her own community, they found out that they found pornographic photos of herself, photos of her in self-mutilation, photos of her paying homage to 764. And all the things that she were doing with the bomb making was in some way to give 764 one more thing to see. And these people will actually try to raise their own stature. It's a thing. They set up chat groups and they watch it online. One guy stages it and the rest of them log in to watch it. And it's like a badge of honor for them to see how much harm they can get out of a victim while they watch it online and then resell the videos later. It's designed, they say their own stated goal is to sow chaos and bring down society. So to start with kids. And that's happening right now in America. Tim Tebow has got a brand new project, and when we get back from this break, because I don't have time to play it for the break, but when we get back from this break, I'm going to play you a clip. He just did an interview with Sean Ryan, one of the largest podcasters in the world, and Sean Ryan interviewing the former NFL star about his new goal to pass something in Congress called the Renewed Hope Act. I'll tell you all about it, but y'all, I'm telling you, trafficking of kids is real, and it's in our backyard. And you got to be careful because it could be in your kids' video games for all you know. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show right here. This show goes all the way from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn and straight across the border to what we get to call, once again, Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that's just the radio. By the way, we got a whole lot going on with our online viewers. And if you're not online viewing once in a while, you're missing out because we put up more stuff there. You can see things. You can get an idea of what we're talking about with pictures that we show on the screen of the stories that we're covering. And I would suggest that every once in a while, go check out our online. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on Rumble. You can find us on X. You can find us on Facebook, and you can also, oh, by the way, just go to our website, rightsidemedia.org. That's the company, rightsidemedia.org. So I'm in this section right now, heavy topic, but it's real. It's legit. It's a grown-up conversation, y'all. So the FBI has just opened up a huge amount of criminal investigations. One of the things that I'm loving right now is that the Trump administration is doing everything it can to try and figure out what happened to the 300,000 unaccompanied illegal immigrant kids who came across the border. 300,000. Story here on MSN. The Department of Homeland Security has now enlisted the FBI and other law enforcement agencies in recent weeks to conduct welfare checks on children and young people. So basically what they're doing is if they've got an address of record, which they better, they're going and knocking on the door and saying, "We'd like to see the child. We want to know they're okay." And then they're being given a list of questions to ask because there are deep concerns that a lot of these kids were trafficked. But they're being given this questionnaire to go into to make sure the kids are not in danger, to make sure that there is good work, to see that they go to school, to find out if there's anything about parents or who they're currently living with. Because I think what we're going to find is a whole lot of these kids disappeared into the ether. And the Biden administration was like, what? I don't see anything. What's going on? It's kids. This is one of those things that I believe the future generations of Americans are going to be held, are going to be looking back on us, and we're going to be held accountable. And we've got to do more. Because 300,000 kids, 300,000, y'all, the Biden administration lost track of. They did no welfare checks. I've already seen, as I resource the show today, any number of liberal media outlets saying this business of DHS in, you know, getting the FBI and other law enforcement agencies to help them with the welfare checks on these 300,000 kids was a waste of time. It was not unnecessary. And I'm thinking, you know why? You don't want them to find out what they're going to find out. That's what's happening. The liberal media is so reeling from all the things that we're finding out about what happened during the last 4 years that the last thing they need is for another report to come out that says, oh, by the way, we can't find half of those kids. They're not where you said they were. FBI also, by the way, just ran a sex abuse offenders crackdown nationwide. 205 alleged child sex abuse offenders were basically swept up in a nationwide identification track and arrest sting. Child sex predators across the country in coordination with all 55 of our FBI field offices. So like 11 arrested in Cleveland alone. This kind of crackdown, more of it, please. More of it. But Tim Tebow has started something. You know, Tim Tebow is a guy with an incredible platform. Of course, he's, you know, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion, played professional football, and he's got a gravitas and a presence when he does something that carries weight. And he's using that for what I would call the good of the kingdom, if you know what I mean. Tim Tebow just did a podcast with Sean Ryan. Sean Ryan has one of the largest podcasts in the world. He's right up there with Joe Rogan. But Tim Tebow, basically, I got a story here from ChristianPost.com. And this came out a few months ago. But Tim Tebow outlined a new program with lawmakers at the U.S. Capitol called the Renewed Hope Act. And the Renewed Hope Act was designed to give U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement and Department of Homeland Security more resources to hire and train personnel to deal with child sex trafficking, exploitation of victims, helping to identify predators. And so he's got a mission in life right now. And he talked about that on Sean Ryan. And let me say something. A minute ago, I talked about that group that calls itself 764. There's a level of depravity that perhaps we as normal citizens don't think about, but it is out there. And the level of depravity, when you talk about child sex predators and child sex traffickers, please understand, these are not accidental perpetrators. There is a level of depravity involved here that goes way beyond anybody ever accidentally stumbling into something and they just need to get themselves out of it. No. These are people who plot. These are people who have a sociopathic mindset. They don't mind hurting other people. And then they take the most innocent and tender ages in our society. Kids who can't even tie their own shoes yet. And they treat them with a level of disdain as if they are mere chattel. Tim Tebow talked about, in the Sean Ryan podcast, he read out some of the things that they say to each other in their predator chat rooms. He talked about one who said he has a daughter he'd like to share with others. He talked about one who said his favorite preference was children who were age 5 to 9. He talked about another one who said he had 20 terabytes of baby rape videos he was willing to sell. And then he talked about one who was interviewed and what he said about why he chooses certain kids on the playground. Here's a, I'm going to let you go ahead and play it. Go ahead and pull that audio clip up, and it's going to be video too. Those who are watching online, you'll be able to see a piece of this. 45 seconds, full credit to the Sean Ryan Show, interviewing Tim Tebow. Go ahead.
I hate to even say it. One of the top psychologists that he shared with us is one offender went to a playground and he watched all of the boys and girls. He picked a certain one. After he gets caught talking to him, he said, "Why did you pick that one? What's the reason why you did it? Is it height? Is it weight? Is it size? Is it color? Is it background?" "Well, no, no, no." He said, "No, I waited and I watched and I tried to find the happiest kid so that I could steal her soul."
Who does that? What's out there? It's out there. It's out there. The question is, what are we going to do about it? And I'm telling you right now, the liberal left, there's a couple of things here. I do not believe that everybody who has what I would call a left-leaning ideology or worldview is a child sex predator. I do not. So I'm not trying to say that those of you who are my listeners who are of the Democrat persuasion or tend to lean left or even center left, I get it. You can have liberal policies on politics and not be a child sex predator. I get it. What irritates the crap out of me right now, though, is that the left as a whole is not doing enough to fight the issue. They're not. Even when I find stories like this, off the Daily Fetched. Daily Fetched, two left-wing non-governmental organizations which are tied to George Soros are doing everything they can to thwart President Trump's new anti-child trafficking reforms. And you think, why? Here's the two groups, I'll name them by name. National Center for Youth Law, another one called Democracy Forward. They've both gotten their money from George Soros' Open Society Foundation. They filed a lawsuit against the Trump administration trying to block his attempts to reform the Unaccompanied Alien Child Program. So this Unaccompanied Alien Child Program is what resettles migrant children as long as they can say they've got an adult sponsor when they arrive at the border. It's an absolute farce. Let me ask you this. Would you take your kid to the mall and drop them off and then be okay if somebody came along and said, "Hey, kid, where do you need to go?" "I don't know, but I've got to see somebody." And they said, "Here's an adult. They want you. Okay, I'll go with them." Would you feel like the mall cops did a good job for your kid? If somebody said at your child's school that an adult showed up and took your child home and you said, "Who was it?" "I don't know. They said they would be responsible." Would you think that's okay? That's exactly what the program has been doing under the Biden administration for 300,000 children. A whistleblower at the Department of Health and Human Services named Tara Lee Rodas described the UAC program as nothing but a white glove delivery service where migrant children moved from federal custody to adult sponsors, many of whom were not even relatives or parents. Here's her quote. She said, "We have delivered these unaccompanied children to criminals, traffickers, and members of transnational criminal organizations who are using that UAC program as a white glove delivery service of children." And the Soros-backed NGOs have now filed a class action lawsuit to stop Health and Human Services from just merely trying to verify the legal status of the children and trying to determine where they are and trying to add additional layers of protection. I don't get it. I don't get it at all. I don't get it one bit. I think it makes vigilantism look like a really good thing, to be honest with you. I do. I think it looks like something the society better get a grip on real quick, because I really do believe that while this has probably been going on since man left the garden, I also think that it has become far more prolific because there has been a lowering of the barriers. There's been a watering down of the morals. There has been a reducing of the inhibitions. And there has certainly been an increase in the ability for these people to reach our kids because of just the way our society is structured in the 21st century. And it is incumbent upon us, as people who believe otherwise, to fix it and to fight it and to deal with it. And if we see something, to say something. And then, oh, by the way, check and make sure who your kids are chatting with through their video games. Make sure you know what's on their smartphones. Make sure you know who their friends are on Facebook. Don't assume for a second that your innocent child will remain innocent if someone like a 764 person wants to get into their face. I'm just telling you, am I being serious? Well, I've worked with abused kids, so yes, by God, I am. I'm done. Whew. Lord God, I didn't know it was going to go down that road quite as steeply as it did. But y'all, I'm just telling you, it's real, and we need to fight it. Let's take a break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, saying it like it is. We'll be right back.